This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
We are back here on a Monday. Hope you're having a great start to your week. And the weather forecast, we just have winter. We got to get through winter. I hate winter. I can't stand it. When I was a kid, I never really could wrap my head around why so many people moved to Arizona and Florida when they got older. Why? Now I know. And every year it becomes clearer to me.
I'd like to have some snow, though. You know, if it's going to be cold, I'd like to sit and look at it.
Okay, then think about all your plow guys and the city resources that have to go to work to make all that happen so you can have your view out the window.
Well, yeah.
Come on now.
If I've got to be this cold, though, I'd like it to be pretty instead of just you walk out in the wind just goes it's through
just,
your entire
just
body.
Gray and windy and cold, yes, for sure. All right, well, and welcome. The mayor is in studios with us here today. Let's talk a little bit about, it's been a couple of weeks. We have had just devastating numbers since January 1st, after the new year. I believe there have been something close to 7,500 new cases in the first 3 weeks of this new year. There have been an awful lot of deaths, I think 16 over the last 2 weeks. We are now back to getting daily numbers. We'll get the totals today over the weekend, I'm assuming. And every day I hear of someone else I know who's hospitalized or not doing well. And yet it just, if I go to a store today at 2 o'clock this afternoon, half the world is living like this isn't even existing.
Well, I mean, we've talked before about COVID fatigue, but, you know, Brian, the governor, I think it was last week, said, you know, had a news conference that he felt like we had peaked in Illinois. And, you know, I think there probably are parts of Illinois that have peaked and maybe the Chicago area, but, you know, in Chicago, people wear masks and they socially distance
each
other.
Debbie Bogle came back from New York. She flew out there. She had to isolate in a hotel room for a week and then film a commercial for the charity that she's serving as an interim director for the Lisa Foundation. And she said she didn't see anybody without a mask for a week.
And as you walk into a shop, if your mask is not over your nose and mouth, they will tell you, put it on.
Yep.
And, you know, we have a lot of resistance here. And I don't know that we have peaked here because we've got such a low vaccination rate.
We clearly haven't if you look at the numbers. Yeah.
And thankfully, you know, the Board of Health reversed its decision and we do get daily numbers. Now, we don't get them on the weekend, but so we'll get some big numbers, I'm sure, today. But, you know, Brian, I remember in the beginning of starting to have, you know, a lot of cases and in the very beginning, it's like we hit 23 cases in one day. I distinctly remember calling the county board chairman going, we have 23 cases in the county, which seemed astronomical. And then, you know, last week we were hitting 400 and 500 a day. And these are, yes, people who are vaccinated, some are getting sick. That's the nature of this. This is evolving.
Listen, I talk to our administrators on a weekly basis from all three, the two major hospitals and Crossing. And the vast majority of people who are in trouble are unvaccinated.
Yes.
The ones who are end up hospitalized, if they have been vaccinated, and what the numbers don't tell you from the health department is whether those people are fully vaccinated with a booster. It just means they've had at least one shot.
It doesn't also tell you if they've got another condition.
But all of them have, suppressed immunizations. I mean, immune systems. They have other conditions, which has been a big part of all of this, right? You could have diabetes and live another 20 years. You can have diabetes, get COVID, and the complications because of diabetes takes you down a bad path. That has been the situation from day one. But people act like this comorbidity thing doesn't exist or they died of that. And
that it's being covered up with COVID numbers. But, you know, COVID accelerates.
But you
could
have lived another 20 years.
Absolutely.
And I don't understand why people want to assume that there's some sort. I don't get it. I don't understand from the beginning why. Drew Early sat here in that chair a couple of weeks ago and said, you have trusted us for years about your heart disease and your diabetes. I mean, why now do you not trust us?
Exactly. And I mean, this, if you get a cancer diagnosis, you might do more research on that type of cancer. You might even go get a second opinion.
Absolutely.
But realistically, you will trust your doctor and do what the doctor says, or you get options, whether to, you know, try treatment or to not do treatment. And you trust them. You don't fight them at every turn. Same thing with heart disease. And if you've got high blood pressure and you've got other things and your doctor says you need to go on this medication because if you don't, most people aren't going to go on that medication.
Right, but the big difference between this and that is that if they don't choose to follow that advice, it's just on them. Yeah. You know, and those 19 people that were hospitalized that have been vaccinated, somebody else may or may not have, just because of their casual sort of not taking this seriously, caused that to happen.
Absolutely, and it's just...
including family and loved ones.
But, you know, here's the deal, Brian. I don't know if this is my own COVID fatigue. It's available. We have information available that should give you a pretty good understanding, fair and balanced information. If that's your choice, that's your choice. As harsh as that sounds.
I get that, but yet people still have to go to work at grocery stores and they still have to work on the front lines, and it's not their fault.
No, it's not, and it's not fair to them.
I did see an interesting story about the amount of people who have had an adverse reaction to the vaccine, that a big percentage of those that they believe is a placebo reaction, like that people have convinced themselves. It's a scientific study that's fascinating. We won't know for certain all of this until
a long time.
Very long time. But the idea that people talk themselves into symptoms, I mean, isn't the medical field.
No, that's absolutely. I mean, look at men who get pregnancy symptoms, you know, sympathetic, whatever, and then they gain 40 pounds and blame it on the pregnancy.
Right. You've been at the hospital throughout this whole time, and I know you were working from home at some point of it, but you know, that hospital is the same hospital as it was 3 years ago. The people would go in there and treat the staff with respect and appreciate nurses and frontline workers. How do you explain where we are today?
I don't even know where to begin.
Because it's not normal.
And we will, you know, both hospitals, when if you are at end of life, will allow family members in. It's amazing to me that we have stories of family members who go into these rooms where you have a loved one who's dying of COVID, and they don't want to wear their masks. And then they want to walk around the hospital, go to the cafeteria. You can't do that.
Yeah. But yet the perception, I mean, that somehow these institutions that we've trusted with our health and our lives, all of our lives, are somehow in collusion into this big
thing.
To what
end? People think hospitals are getting rich off this.
Hospitals are losing money right and left because their bread and butter is an elective surgery. The idea that hospitals want you to die is beyond amazing to me, because you make your living on people living longer and treating them.
Yeah.
I mean, just to be as cynical as I can about how the healthcare field
works. The mission of these hospitals is to take care of all of us.
Yeah, but I'm saying even if you don't care about that, if you just want to look at just the dollars and cents, literally where you make your money, how you subsidize all the other areas of care is in elected surgeries and that type of medical treatment.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the beginning of COVID, when hospitals were shut down by the state, not necessarily for elective surgeries, now they are on their own to balance it out. Billions of dollars were lost every month in Illinois hospitals. And I mean, hospitals are not the big money makers that they were 20 years ago.
Yeah.
They're just not. They're shiny and their stuff is expensive and their doctors are.
And this is going to cause, this will cause the healthcare industry to change forever, yeah, because they're going to have to. And that's probably something good that will come out of this, is the acceleration factors. Like when you have, and you got to come up with a better name than telehealth, because it just doesn't even make any sense. But all of that will improve.
It already has.
Yes. But because, I mean, it's here to stay, though.
Absolutely. And that will allow more expert care to go into rural areas where people may not be able to have behavioral health or some specialist to get, you know, and it's really amazing technology.
It is. And it makes a lot of sense. I mean, because the healthcare model is going to have to change.
Yeah. Well,
it's probably
has.
Needed to change for a long time.
Well, it's been changing since Obamacare. I mean, it really has. And part of that was by design to shrink the number of hospitals that are in the country. And that's happened. Smaller hospitals have, you know, done away with services and they've become more of a drip and ship, or, you know, you get stabilized and sent to a bigger hospital.
Well, I know we had an experience here, Lindsay did on her side of the family, not with COVID, but with something else, and went to one of the, the dock in the box places, and they wanted her to take this family member to an ER, mm-hmm. and they said, go to Mattoon.
Yeah.
And literally, what was thought to be just something you could go and see somebody and take care of, said, no, you really should probably go get this checked out, but don't check out here because you're not going to get in. Drive to Mattoon.
Yeah, the ERs have been absolutely slammed.
By the way, Mattoon was wonderful, and they had a great experience, and yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, people that think this isn't real, I'm just saying, it's like, I mean, when do you ever remember in your life somebody saying, you know, you really should probably go to the ER, but drive an hour away?
Well, Brian, I had that experience with my mother because she was in a nursing home in Sullivan. She got pneumonia. They wanted to send her to hospitals in Decatur. And we were at a very high point of COVID. And I said, don't you send her without calling first, because there's not going to be a bed. And the last thing that would have been good for her was to be, you know, sitting alone, because at that time you couldn't go in, but alone, confused, waiting to be seen, you know. And basically I said, you try Mattoon or try Champagne, but
I don't think
here.
People believe it until they get there and see. I really don't. And I mean, I just heard a story, you know, of someone who's literally in their last days, and they're sitting in an emergency room, you know, for a room. I mean, and that kind of level of like, I'm almost dying, and I'm going to die. And there is no room to put this person. Parked in the emergency room.
Now, if you are having a heart attack,
I don't talk about emergency. I know, but I'm just saying.
I mean, those are the people who need to go to the emergency room.
Yes.
It's people who, you know, have strep throat or something. You know, go to the express care type places. Go see, talk to your primary care physician. If you don't, then go to one of the doc in the box places, because the emergency rooms, they are for emergencies, and they're slammed.
All right. What are you, let's switch gears a little bit, because, you know, we talk about this every week, and we'll continue to talk about this every week because it's not going anywhere. We've got to get, you're right on about the vaccination, but yet the people who I feel for throughout this entire time, it's not myself, it's not you, it's people who can't help the fiction that they're in. And they have to go to work. They have to show up at the front lines. And not only are they getting disrespected and yelled at and spit on and called names, but they could get sick and die through no fault of their own. Yeah. And I don't know why we as a society, half of us just said, I don't give a damn about anybody else, but we have. But the ones who have done everything and been fully vaccinated, meaning getting the booster shot, it's far fewer hospitalizations, almost hardly any deaths. It's a math game at this point, and it has been from day one.
It is, and the people who are hospitalized are, I think it's 85%, it changes daily, but around 85% are not vaccinated.
We know this. All right, we've got a lot of new politicians and political wannabes in our life right now.
Yeah, we do.
And so I don't know what all this looks like. I mean, we have an interesting, what I think is going to be an interesting race in the 13th. Mm-hmm. You have Rodney Davis's new district, which will be the 15th, and he now has a primary opponent, Mary Miller from to the east of us. Yet that race is going to be interesting only because the former president has weighed in, and we'll see what happens. The other race got interesting to me with Jesse Rising, who I believe we have on this week. We're still trying to figure out the schedule. Sixth generation Decatur family. He had a really impressive rollout.
Oh, his image.
Yeah. So just, I mean, yeah. Not talking about policy or anything else, just sort of as a storytelling device, it was a really good story. You got Nikki Baczynski on the other side of this. I'm hearing another Republican here in Decatur is going to be announcing, which would mean a primary, which is just insane because that district is going to be so hard for a Republican to win anyway. It makes for Republicans to be spending money on a primary, but whatever, that's everybody's right. That's politics. What are you making of all of this? Just from a community perspective.
Well, if you go to the new state maps, I think we have, what, 5 state reps for Macon County and 3 or 4 state senators?
They're all going to have like a sliver, yes.
Yeah, I mean, so that's going to be interesting. In fact, I'm meeting with one of those folks today. As far as the congressional races go, you know, when I was just looking at it in the beginning, I'm thinking, well, you know, most likely Rodney's seat will stay Republican.
Yeah, whoever wins the primary is going to win the general.
And the 13th would, in my mind, and this is before Jesse announced he was running, strong possibility it would be Democratic.
So. Because those districts were, one was designed to lean red, the other one was designed to lean blue.
Right.
So and they wanted to give that to Rodney. That was actually a gift to him.
I know,
But he had the unbelievable fortitude to sort of vote, to recognize that an election took place. And so Trump's going to screw him.
Mm-hmm. But looking out for Decatur, I was kind of pleased with, I've got a Republican right here and a Democrat right here. So whoever is in charge, in Congress and at the White House, I've got somebody who can get me into where I need to go to say, give me the money for Decatur.
I felt the exact same way. And I'm the other, but I mean, you've got somebody who worked in the Biden administration. You know, that's a plus to some, a negative to others. But clearly,
depends on who's in charge.
Exactly. And then you've got, if Republicans take control of Congress, you've got a guy who's poised to be sitting as a chairman in one of the most powerful committees in Washington, D.C. Good for us.
Absolutely. Now, getting back to the new 13th, I know Nikki. I've known her for years. I've known Jesse since he was in preschool. So, I mean, I'm good friends with his parents.
Yeah.
So I mean, I know both are outstanding people. And so we win either way.
Well, it'll be interesting anyway. I wasn't sure if it was going to be interesting, and then it got interesting.
Real interesting.
All right. So what do you make about the state side of this? Because the downside is, people will try to spin this, and there's no way to spin it. You need one person that depends on most of your community to keep their job. To have sway and influence over that person.
Mm-hmm. And
when they only need a sliver of what you have to offer.
Your community is important to them. Now, Senator Turner and Representative Scheer both have a large chunk of Decatur.
Do you see either one of them much at all?
Yeah, I do. I talk to both of them on a regular basis.
And if you had to point.
I haven't seen people because I haven't been anywhere.
Fair enough. If you had to point to one thing they've done for this community from either point of view, what would it be?
Well, in fairness, Senator Turner's only been in office, less than a year.
Yeah, and we were supposed to book a monthly show with her, and they just quit doing it. No communication.
And I will say, in fairness, Representative Scheer was very instrumental in our Brush College project because we had the railroads sitting. Just holding on to our plans. And it wasn't, Sue wasn't able to get to the railroads, but she was Durbin. And she has Durbin's cell phone number and was calling him on a regular basis to where I think he single-handedly went to the railroads and said, move it.
All right. Fair enough. Okay. And now they have less of our area, or there are more people involved.
The hard thing is most people, Joe Sixpack is not going to have any idea who his state rep is.
Right.
I'm not sure I know. I've looked at maps and I'm confused. The way they drew the 13th and 17th, they connected like it has to be contiguous. So they did the bridge over the lake and made that part of the map instead and slivered around to my neighborhood. And it's absurd and it's wrong.
It is. And most people will tell you they're against the way it's done, yet the politicians aren't ever going to do it. Republicans now and hope for one day to have the power to do that exact same thing. And that's the problem.
It is the problem. So it's going to be interesting, especially with Mike Madigan out, because he controlled the purse strings of every state rep candidate that was running on the Democratic side. And he's gone. And so these candidates are a little bit, I don't know if I'd say on their own.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. Mm-hmm. I just hope for good representation.
Well, the county board chairman and I will do our best to make sure that our voices continue to be heard for Decatur and Macon County. And we've at least got, we've got a strong coalition of people, regardless of who's representing us. We've got Democrats, we've got Republicans, we've got business, we've got labor. We have, county government, city government, and we very much try to speak as one voice, as opposed to if you got slivers of people and everybody's in 18 different directions, what do? Ignore us.
All right. One last thing before we let you go on the COVID front. What led to the Macon reversing their decision on how they were going to allow the Macon County Health Department to report numbers?
I don't have firsthand. I think they got such pushback from the public, and there were, the chairman of that board was reading Facebook posts out loud to the Board of Health as they reconsidered the activity. I don't think they meant ill to do that. I don't think their motives, I think they were wrong, but I appreciate the fact that they took a look at it and said, okay, this was a bad idea. We're going to reverse course.
So, okay. I mean, some of the quotes that were in that meeting would suggest that they absolutely meant, I guess being generous is fine, but there were some quotes that absolutely would refute what you just said, that they were trying to control the media and trying to control bad PR.
Well, you know, let's take the high road here and hope that they were trying to do their job and they just aired and saw the direction they went and decided to go back.
I mean, I'm glad you can ignore the information. That's always right. You don't have to follow
anything.
Well,
when you and I talk about COVID, people can turn us off.
Absolutely. And that's been the case for 2 years. And we're willing for you to do that so that other people can get the information, people safe.
Absolutely. This is, again, from the Herald and Review, less is not more.
Yeah, no, I agree. But new building, less is more.
Yeah.
Was that like the big move this weekend or something?
Yeah, they should be out of the...
Nick, you got it. You can look right out there.
Get some scoop from up here.
I couldn't remember where exactly they were moving.
Well, I think they're moving into Viewing, and Viewing is moving into theirs.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Building. So, yeah, I don't know if it was this weekend or there was just some stuff about it this
weekend.
I saw
moving trucks.
Did you?
I think there were stories about over the weekend about them moving.
Yeah, sad about the, you know, that.
I always like the press.
That's
so
exactly
fun.
Right. Billy Tyus's dad, you know, ran that for years.
He did.
And it was so much fun to go down there and because I was a kid, like, you know, it was a big deal.
When I was an adult, it was a big
deal.
No,
I know, but I mean, I watched like all the President's Men, you know, I mean, that was like a thing.
Stop the Presses meant something.
Yes. You know? You had like the whole big open, you know, with all the cubicles, and that was like my idea.
The energy and the noise of the wire machines, click, 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 and the typewriters that were loud.
There was even a great movie called The Paper that Ron Howard directed with Michael Keaton, you know, where they literally do Stop the Presses, and Randy Quaid's brilliant in it if you want to go back and do some old school newspaper stuff. And Spotlight, right, too, recently?
Exactly right.
It was a great newspaper movie. All right, well, welcome. And I guess we can kind of wave out the window to him now.
Yeah, take control on the media right here.
Oh, jeez. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, we appreciate you. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.